guys can be seated for just a minute. As Chris, just keep playing for a second. I am loaded to the gill tonight and ready to preach, man. I tell you, after this morning was just, it's like God leaned over the portals of glory, kissed Kissimmee, and caught me in the smack. But seriously, I need to follow the Spirit a second. I need to get out of my comfort zone for a second. I didn't come to advertise who I am or what I am. It's not about me. But I just feel the unction to quickly, briefly, without a bunch of details, share my story for just a second. I want him just to keep playing. I didn't even plan to do this tonight. Somebody needs to hear this before we even get started good. I was raped and molested when I was 3 years of age. A man took me into a bathroom, a babysitter, as a matter of fact. It was an older gentleman that my mom and dad knew very well. And raped me when I was 3 years old. I'm 43 today. That was 40 years ago, and I still remember it as though it happened yesterday evening. But you know what? You either overcome your past or your past overcomes you. My life rocked on there. I was raised in a devout Christian home. As I told you this morning, the only PhD my mother ever had was her Pentecostal hairdo. Wrapped up, piled up, stacked up, pinned up. I don't mean no disrespect by that, but that's just the way it was. We were Pentecostal pretty much our whole life. And had two older brothers. Rocked on there in my life, and I wound up losing my virginity when I was 11 years of age with a little girl from Michigan. Started searching for highs, something to get high on. You know, you run with dogs, you get fleas. Power of influence. So I started sniffing gasoline, lawnmowers, motorcycles, frying my brain with gas fumes. From there, that led to more sexual immorality. From there, it led to marijuana. From there, I eventually wind up getting a phone call. My sister, 19 years of age, had been shot and killed and murdered. Blown away by her husband. Just didn't love her anymore. Come in off the road as a truck driver. Not against that. My dad's a truck driver. Took a 9mm pistol, shot her. She died 5 minutes after Mother's Day. So I tried to straighten up my act by going into the military. So I went in the military and went AWOL. Very few people know that because I'm not proud of my past. But this is my story and I can't apologize for it. I wound up going AWOL, absent without leave from the military. It was a miracle of God. They even gave me an honorable discharge. And so that didn't go against me. After my sister was shot and killed, I wound up really getting deep in drugs. Then I become a cocaine addict, crack cocaine addict, shooting up, pornography, very big into pornography. I became a male dancer when I was 21 years of age. Sleeping with anything that come along. Swinger clubs, you name it, I've been involved in it. I wind up getting into cocaine and started selling kilos of cocaine and 55-gallon bags full of one-pound blocks of marijuana. I was making $3,000 to $5,000 a week in clear-cut profit. I had all the women I wanted, all the dope I wanted, all the alcohol I wanted, all the attention I wanted. Mom and Dad still praying for me. You forgot about them, didn't you? Mom wouldn't let me go. I was the baby. I was dedicated to God when I was 8 days old. Eight means new beginnings. Mom and Dad gave me to Jesus when I was a child. And it's like everything that my brothers could do, they could get by with it, but I couldn't get by with nothing. Mom had such spiritual discernment on my life that the very first time I got arrested, I'd been gone for a couple of days, spending the night with a buddy. Mom sat straight up in the bed 3 o'clock in the morning, woke my dad up and said, Daniel's in jail. Dad said, I'll go back to sleep. He's over at his friend's house. Hey, blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes later, the phone rang. I was in jail. It's the kind of discernment that God gave my mother over my life. I tried to run from it all. I got busted twice with major drugs. Was looking at 18 months in the federal penitentiary, trying to run from it all. Playing the game of denial. It's everybody's fault but mine. But the Bible says that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. But the end there over the ways, that there's always an end. There's always an end. Oh, it may feel good right now and look pretty good right now, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's an end waiting for you. I said, there's an end waiting for you.
Amen, brother.
I found out yesterday, you know, Southland Christian School had a lawsuit against them because Rob Ennis decided to let a teacher go that was fornicating. Sex outside of marriage. You have to sign a moral clause when you become a teacher at Southland. She wound up having sex outside of marriage. Rob fired her. Well, the defense attorney for her really persecuted Southland. Wound up suing Southland for $75,000. And soon as the woman received the check, 3 days later, that lawyer dropped dead of a heart attack. So the last thing he did was slap God in the face and went to hell. Okay? There's an end for everything. There's an end for everybody. You can only push it for so far. So now my sister's in her grave. My life has gone up in smoke. I try to run from it all. I wind up in Birmingham, Alabama, living on the streets. I've been there. I know what it is to take a furniture cardboard box and make a cubicle out of it so that I can sleep in it for months at a time. I know what it is to climb over a chain link fence and take a milk jug that I just found in a dumpster, take somebody's water hose and fill my jug up, take all the clabbered milk out of it so I can have a reservoir to have water for the next 3 or 4 days. I know what it is to go into a Circle K filling station and steal packets of mayonnaise and mustard because I have nothing to eat. I know what it is to climb over into a dumpster behind McDonald's. Never say never. I know what it is to climb into a dumpster and throw cats out of the dumpster so that I can finish off a 10-piece nugget somebody threw in there God knows how long ago. When you get hungry, cold food doesn't matter anymore. You're just thankful to have something to eat. I wind up at the end of it all taking a gun, playing Russian roulette with it, 40 caliber. I pull the hammer and pull the trigger. I lock and load, pull the trigger, hit the bottle. And I kept that bullet because I pulled the bullet out, and I told this story here before. I pulled the bullet out because it had hit so many times and never went off. And I always was curious why that bullet didn't go off. And then I became a police officer several years ago and was doing that on the side when I'd come in off the road from ministry and wind up winning the chief to the Lord, 3 deputies to the Lord, 1 the paramedic to the Lord, and the chief of the fire hall to the Lord. God used me to defuse many suicides. Because I wouldn't, you know, I'd take my badge off, take my gun out, crawl on my hands and knees and pray them through. And make everybody mad, nervous. But that was my reason for being created, was a ministry to people. And I just remember one night out on patrol, stopped by the house and picked up that bullet. And I shot it in my service weapon. I shot it in the air. As soon as I pulled the trigger, it went off the first time. And I heard the Spirit of God speak to my spirit. Had it not been the Lord who was on my side, I would have been consumed in my iniquities. There's a God that's for you, friend. I said, there's a God that's for you. I wind up sleeping in a cardboard box, eating off the streets. Didn't want to live anymore. Point of suicide. My whole life going up smokes. But I had a mom and a dad. You forgot about them, didn't you? At home, praying and seeking God. It got so bad they had to tell me to leave because I was stealing from them and bringing my women home. Blah, blah, blah. Long story. So wind up October the 16th, 1994, I stumbled into a little old Baptistal church. Nothing special on the outside, but I just stumbled into a church. Walked in there and I sat down. And that day, I had a head-on collision with God and it killed the old man. 6 months after my salvation, I surrendered my call to preach, April the 2nd, 1995. 5 months after I surrendered my call to preach, I went into full-time evangelism by faith, and I've been there for this year will be 21 years. I'm telling you, there is a God. He took a bum eating out of a dumpster with no hope, no future, no life, no joy, no peace, no harmony. Now I'm flying all over the world. My wife and I, we support 205 little girls out of Zambia, Africa. We support them monthly. I just got off the plane in Michigan, preached one message, won 72 people to Jesus Christ in one sermon. It's not about me. I'm simply telling you my story, that God can take nothing and bring something out of it. To many of you, it was just a song a while ago, but I can tell you my God's not dead. He's really alive. Some of you still ain't convinced. So let me get in the evangelistic mode. Allah died and he's still dead. Muhammad died, he's still dead. Buddha died, he's still dead. Confucius died, he's still dead. Pope John died, he's still dead. But Jesus said, behold, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I didn't come to Kissimmee to tolerate Jesus. I came to Kissimmee to celebrate Jesus. My God's not dead. He's really alive. Give him praise tonight. What a God. What a God. What a God. Brother, you have to turn that volume back up, amen. Because I got to sing tomorrow night and I don't need a blowed out throat, all right? Amen. So if it's too loud for you guys, amen, just put your finger in your ears. I got to have help tonight. I just wanted to share that with you. I want you to know that I haven't always had a nice vehicle to drive. I haven't always had good clothes to wear. I haven't always had a Bart Simpson hairdo. Come on, amen. All right. I haven't always had nice shoes to wear and a pleasant reputation. I haven't always had that. A lot of folks say, well, I fought to get to where I'm going. I haven't earned where I'm at. It's by the grace and the mercy of God I'm still even alive today. I didn't earn this. I just come back from Africa, preached the national conference for the nation of Zambia. Went to the back of the altar call line, quarter mile long, talking about an awesome God. God can take absolutely nothing and make something out of it. But it's going to go back to the message that I'm about to preach tonight. As I dealt with Ezekiel chapter 37 this morning, being that it was nothing but a cold, dead graveyard. God reached over and picked up one man, dropped him in a graveyard, and said, now have a revival. And let me tell you, America has become a moral graveyard. We got a president, sublime and crooked, he screws his socks on. If that offended you, I'm offended, amen, I even had to talk about it. All right? This is where we are today. And it ain't going to look like it's going to get any better. We're an absolute mess in this nation today. And you're here tonight because you came looking for something. You didn't show up tonight because the doors are unlocked and the lights are cut off. We are in this room tonight because we're here for one common focus, one common goal, and one common desire. We want a revival in Kissimmee. And revival begins with you. It doesn't begin corporately. It begins on a personal level. You've got to be willing to come to the end of yourself, and that's not a bad place to be. I can tell you, brokenness has become my best friend. Brokenness. The brokenness, the ability to come to the end of myself and say, you know what, God? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I need a revolution somehow. So I want this brother to sing this last verse, chorus, one more time. And I want you to put yourself in my shoes. What this song really means to somebody that's been in a hopeless situation. Because they're in this room tonight. Everybody in here don't have a home to go back to. Everybody in here don't have a spouse to lay down with tonight. Everybody in here, amen, doesn't have money in a bank. Everybody in this house, amen, doesn't have a new pair of shoes. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe, amen, there's no better place to find the love of God than in an altar. Broken. At the end of your rope. You know, in America, we advertise less of me and more of him. But when I go to Africa, it's none of me and all of him. You do the math. That's why miracles happen over there. And we do good to get a common head cold healed in America. Because we think God needs our help. But what God needs from us is cooperation. To simply get into a place of cooperation and say, you know what? You be God. I'll be the puppet on the string. Do with me what you will, God. Let's sing another line of this tonight, and then I'm going to preach. I'm going to burn the house down tonight. We're fixing to have ourselves some church, all right? And I say, we're going to have some church tonight. I feel the unction to function tonight, amen? So put your hands together. Let's stand up and lift our hands to the Lord and sing one more line of this tonight, and then we'll get into the Word, amen? God bless you, church. Amen. Tremendous job, my friend. Thank you, brother. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, and you will, I double dog you to turn to John chapter 5 tonight. John chapter 5 will be my launching pad. Many of you have walked back there to the table, and let me emphasize that I'm not here tonight for the purpose of trying to sell a bunch of product. As a matter of fact, anything back there on that table is any size of love offering or donation of your choice. Don't ask me how much it is. I don't sell the good news. So, everything that comes in on the table back there goes to missions to help our missions funds. But let me make a statement. Some of you, amen, I want to make this clear. I would much rather you come back to the table and not have a dime to your name, and I'll bless you, Then take that money you've got and put it in the gas tank to get back to revival, than to come back there and spend it on a table and not be able to come back. Okay? So if you're broke and ain't got no money, don't you dodge me at the back table. I'm sick and tired of going to conferences and the preacher preaches something that I know I needed in my life. But I don't have $15 for a message. So I have to get in the car and drive away without it. I told God, I said, Lord, you give me the material. Freely I receive, freely I give. If you want to give something back there, you can. Now, I'm not running a blue light special, so don't come back there and take 15 CDs off the table and go outside and light up a cigarette. You and I are going to have a head-on collision. Because if you can afford to kill your flesh, you can afford to feed my family. All right? Well, I can see three of you didn't clap. Amen. You'll be the one I'll nail before the revival's over with. All right? Very quickly tonight, there's a message back there on the table called Recharged. I find it amazing that our theme for the revival is refresh your faith, recharge your spirit, and renew your commitment. This is amazing. A great, great message on being recharged. Another message back there was the first message I ever preached at Heartcry. And it's probably been more requests for this message probably over the years than anything God's ever given me. This is an amazing, amazing message. It's called the Gospel of Judas. Matthew had a gospel. Mark had a gospel. Luke had a gospel. John had a gospel. Though you can't find it in the Bible, let me tell you, Judas had a gospel too. You see, the gospel is Matthew's perspective of the gospel. But Luke had a perspective. Judas had a perspective as well. And how many of you heard this message before, the gospel of Judas? It's a message, amen, that you don't want to listen to while you're babysitting. Get in a quiet place, put on your seatbelt, and take yourself a ride. Here's one called Armed and Dangerous. I can tell you right now that the body of Christ, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me tell you right flat off the bat. If the gates of hell is prevailing against you, you have forsaken your post. Because the true body of Christ, Jesus don't have three or four different bodies, nor did he write five or six different books. He has one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. Hello, amen. And the truth of the fact of it is, amen, he's coming back for one bride that is without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And you know, I hear a lot of folks say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, then you've got two choices. Go to church with them or go to hell with them. Amen? That's your only two choices. Everybody in the church is not a hypocrite, no more than every truck driver pops pills. Okay? There's some of us, I'm not ready to die, but I'm prepared to die. All right? Now, that's a great word right there on Armed and Dangerous, because we are not some weak-kneed, limp-wristed, bunch of believers, our head hanging down, holding the fort till Jesus comes. We are armed with the Word of God. We are armed with the blood of Jesus. We've got a name that's above every name. Come on, folks. We have the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. See, salvation prepares you for heaven, but the Holy Ghost and fire prepare you for the world. Amen. And the last but not least, about half of you walked out today and you made this statement. That's the kind of preaching I was raised on. All right? So there's one back there called Hellfire and Brimstone. I hope you're not sensitive. If you enjoy Joel Osteen, you're going to hate that message. Don't get that one. But you might know somebody, man, that's lost as a heathen in denial there's even a God. That message right there will rake you across the coals of hell, and when you get done with it, you'll have a fear of God. This is the night that I preached this message. In this message, when I finished preaching it, a young man got up from the back seat. And I walked over to him and I told him, I said, son, I see a death angel over you with a sword drawn. The end of this message. The kid flipped me a bird and told me to go believe, tell somebody else that believes it. Walked out there, got in his car, took off down the road. We got in the car and we left after church was over with too. I got 2 miles down the road. His car was flipped upside down, laying beside a telephone pole. I just told him there's a death angel over you with a sword drawn. He laughed in my face. I walked over to the car, smoke ring heat coming up out of it. I found his body laying here and his head laying younger. I'm telling you, there is a God. There is a God. It's once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. I know of two people in hell right now, a rich man and a young man I preach to in Danville, Alabama. Please understand tonight, there is a heaven. But in contrast, there is a hell. And I think the reason why America's lost its fear of God is because preachers won't preach this anymore. You know why preachers won't preach on hell? Let me tell you why they won't preach on hell. Because preaching on hell don't build churches. And people's more interested today in ministry, amen, in money than they are in ministry. Stained glass steeples, mortar, and clay. That's exactly where we are. And the only one that was concerned about the money was Judas. Come on, folks. We don't preach on hell anymore. Back then, we had a fear of God. Preacher walk up, they put their cigarette out and hide their beer. Today, preachers drink and smoke with them. Huh? This is where we are. We need a fear of God back in the house of God. Make us walk like Jesus, look like Jesus, act like Jesus, and then we can fall in love with Jesus. Amen? All right. That's all on the table, but not in the pulpit tonight. All right? Amen. If you have your Bibles and you will, I want you to go to John chapter 5. Open up your spirit and let me be who I am tonight. Remember, I told you this morning that my job as an evangelist is to get you out of Egypt. Brother Leonard's job is to get you to the promised land. He and I walk in two different offices. Our perspective a lot of times is not the same. But Brother Leonard and I are like stained glass windows. In a stained glass window, you've got red pieces, you've got blue pieces, you've got yellow pieces, you've got orange pieces, right? And each one of those pieces reflect the sunlight from a different shade or different perspective. But we're still reflecting the same exact sun. So open up your spirit tonight and allow the Spirit of God entrance into your life. I believe somebody's going to leave this room tonight. Sure glad they came. In John chapter 5 tonight, stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord, if you will. I'm going to read 9 verses of Scripture tonight and then we're going to get into the message. Listen very closely, because this is one message you'll never forget. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. Somebody say a pool. Which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of what kind of folk? Impotent folk. That's right. Blind, halt, withered, waiting. Say it with me. Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. I like that word, whosoever. Because you know what? That includes me. That includes you. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter your story. Doesn't matter where you are tonight. Whosoever. The Bible says, there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying down, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, Jesus said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Jesus saith unto him, save your drama for your mama. Okay, this guy must have had Facebook. Come on, amen. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Last verse. And immediately, without hesitation, stutter, or stamina, the man was made whole, took up his bed, walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. I want you to high-five 3 people and tell them, neighbor, don't miss your move. Sound is awesome, my friend. Thank you, brother. You can be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. And I want you to plug in here with me for just a few minutes tonight because, you know, I appreciate every service being a little different. You know, God's all right with me. You know, sometimes God blows in on a Harley Davidson. Amen. Sometimes it seems like it's all he can do to get here on a moped. Amen. Come on. Amen. As long as he gets here, amen, is all that matters to me. And I feel him in this room tonight. Thank you guys for being here. I need you to envision me for just a few minutes. And if you will envision with me concerning this text, you will notice with me multitudes of feeble folk surrounding this pool. And they are waiting for the moving of the water. Here is a multitude of people that testified by their very presence that they were in need of something at this pool that they could not get any other place. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been at the pool. Spiritually speaking tonight, Heart Cry, you and I are gathered together in this place tonight at the pool, just like they were then. Our very presence here tonight is a revelation of the fact that we all too need something. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here tonight. The truth is, amen, is the fact that we are gathered in this room tonight together says that what we need is not in a bottle or we wouldn't be here. What we need is not in a bag of pills or we wouldn't be here. What we need is not in drugs or we wouldn't be here. We can't find it in sex or we wouldn't be here. Matter of fact, the doctor can't do it. The banker can't fix it. Sporting events won't meet your need. Amen. Changing careers won't do it either. We are present tonight at the pool because what we need is nothing less than the supernatural presence and power of Almighty God. Give Him praise. That's why I'm here. That's why I bought a plane ticket. That's why I'm here. I didn't come for a pat on the back. Somebody said, my God, what's his issue? Listen, if I don't get excited about what I'm saying, I can't get you to. Come on, amen. I won't ever apologize for being a live wire without insulation. Come on, amen. In North Carolina, my nickname is DC Voltage. Come on, amen. Ain't no need playing with this thing. I always promise God, Lord, you give me an anointing to preach and I'll preach every message as though it's my last message. Amen. I'm going to do it again tonight. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's hard to come to the place where we are ready to admit our desperation and our own personal impotency. It is difficult to willingly embrace vulnerability and accountability. Nobody wants to be accountable to anything anymore. Pastors are not accountable to congregations. Congregations are not accountable to pastors. People today don't want a pastor. They want a preacher. Big difference. That's exactly right. You got governments not accountable to citizens. Citizens not accountable to government. The truth is we're in a mess today. Nobody wants to be accountable to anything anymore. But I'm here tonight making myself accountable. And I'm also here tonight no different than this multitude gathered in John chapter 5. I'm just like this group of people. Daniel Couch is impotent. Daniel Couch is powerless. I am helpless. I am nothing without His touch on my life. Without His anointing, I remain empty and undone and incomplete. I've got to tell you something, church, that after 43 years of living and half of my life in a pulpit, I've got to tell you that I have finally discovered, amen, and I can't keep it to myself, I have found that the greatest key to God's favor, God's anointing, and God's touch on my life, watch this, is learning how to wait on God. All right, I appreciate both of you that clapped. Amen. Amen. Appreciate both of you. You want to know why you didn't clap? Because that don't sound spiritual. Nobody wants to wait on anything anymore. I pulled out of here today to go to Catfish Haven. About halfway up 192 right here is a dog laying in the road. He's been there a while. In Alabama, we call that roadkill. All right? So I looked over there and I thought, poor poodle. Roadkill. Spirit of God spoke to me today and He said, that's not roadkill. I said, then what is it? He said, that's impatience. If that dog would have waited till the car went by, he'd still be alive tonight. But he had to go right then. Huh? And that's where a lot of us are at in our lives today, man. Our whole life is summed up with because we cannot wait on God. Can't wait on anything anymore. The truth of the fact of it is, if you're ever going to have God's anointing on your life, you've got to learn to wait. If we're going to experience a revival this week, we've got to learn to wait. The truth is, David said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. David said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen to me, church. When I come before God, lock the door, light a candle, get down on my face, and just wait on Him. You want to know how God interprets my actions? I'll tell you how He interprets that. You want to know what I'm doing? You want to know what I'm really saying to God? I'm admitting to God that I am powerless without You. I am impotent without You. And God, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. You've got to realize, friend, as in this text, there's a time for waiting, but then there's a time for stepping out. Right? Now watch this. A lot of people sit on their hands saying, well, Pastor, I'm waiting on God. In reality, thus excusing their fear, their doubt, and their laziness. There is a time for waiting, but then there's a time for moving. As a matter of fact, listen to this. The truth of the fact of it is, amen, it's wise to point out that when the water moved in our opening text, there was an angel present. And whatever their need was at that precise moment, it was met immediately and simultaneously the moment their toe touched the water. Right? Listen. When the water moved, then there was a miracle in the water. But only when the water moved. I asked you to touch three people and tell them don't miss your move. I hope you were listening because it's so crucial to revival. And it's crucial to our spiritual success. You want to know why Heart Cry needs a revival right now? You only need a revival when you're dying or you're dead. Okay? You only need a revival when you're dying or you're dead. Tithes is where it needs to be. Attendance is where it needs to be. Everybody running, dancing, shouting, having a neck jerk in Pentecostal buffalo fit. You don't need me. Huh? You need me when you're sucking wind spiritually. Your priorities are out of line, amen. And you're trying to find spiritual equilibrium again in your life. So you want to know what has brought this church to that place? You keep missing your move. You keep missing your move. God gives you instructions, but you will not do it. I told you this morning, amen, that the key from turning a graveyard into a great and mighty army was cooperating with the Spirit of God. There's something about obedience. Somebody asked me just a while ago back at the table. They said, Brother Couch, how did you get to where you are right now? Not that I'm anything special, but I've come ways. Come on, Fives, from a dumpster to a pulpit. That's a pretty good journey. Come on, amen. So what have you done? What is the key to your success? I said two things. I pray and obey. That's it. I pray and obey. When I began to look at this story preparing for this revival, Brother Leonard, in my imagination, I saw a crowd of people spread out around this pool waiting for the moving of the water. And in my mind, I saw that they did not know when the water was going to move. Right? Right? So the fact that they did not know when the water was going to move tells me they had to watch the water. They had to stare at the water. They could not take their eyes off the water. They could not afford to lose focus of the water. And it seems like today that the Church of America has got their attention on everything and anything but the right thing. It ain't just kids walking around. It's adults too. We have become so addicted to our gadgets. We go to a restaurant. You never see families sitting there having a dialogue with their children and their spouse, enjoying the company of each other. Everybody's got a cell phone, headphones on, locked in their own world. Our dialogue, our communication has been broke down. I wish we'd treat our Bibles like we do our cell phones. See, if you'd forgot your Bible this morning, you wouldn't have turned around to go home to got it. But if you left your cell phone, amen, you wouldn't worry about being late. Huh? Oh, don't make me preach on that a minute, because I'll be glad to. Huh? It is the truth. You know, you get a cell phone for Christmas, amen, you can't wait to show everybody. What if you got a new Bible for Christmas? Huh? I mean, what disturbs you the most? Your church not growing or your garden not growing? What disturbs you the most? Your Bible not read or your newspaper undelivered? What disturbs you the most? A scratch on your new car or a lost soul going to hell? What disturbs you the most? Your kids late for Sunday school or late for public school? Hello? See, the American church has got to a place today. We no longer want a duty, we want a diaper. We don't want a sword, we want a sucker. We don't want, it's exactly where we are today, guys. We don't want a battle, we want a bottle. And when we ought to be riding in chariots of fire, we're still having to be pushed in baby buggies. Why? Because we keep missing our move. We don't obey God. We do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we want to do it. Across the board. Come to church, won't pay my tithe, but I'll go down to Catfish Haven and leave a $5 tip for an ungodly waitress. Then come to the house of God and tip the man of God. You don't tip the man of God and bless the world. You tip the world, amen, and bless the kingdom of God. That's where we are today. And I believe with all of my heart, too often we miss our move. We'd be walking in victory right now tonight. Everybody loves me to tell my stories. But one thing be better than my stories is you haven't won yourself. Come on. I walked into a Texaco the other day. Matter of fact, I was sitting out in the car and I didn't have any money in the spirit. I was with a buddy of mine. He was getting some gas. Spirit of God told me, he said, go into the Texaco filling station. I sped back to God. I don't have anything I need in the Texaco filling station. Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, go into the Texaco filling station. I said, Lord, I don't have any money. Why don't I want to go in there? Bible says, God spoke to my heart. He said, you walk by faith and not by sight. I'll let you know when you get that far. So I got out of the car and went into the Texaco filling station. To keep looking like an idiot, I just walked over there on some aisle and picked up a can of smoked Vienna sausages. Reading the calories on it like it really matters with me. Come on. Anyway, man. Hello. I mean, I've always been so blooming skinny, if my back blistered, my belly would peel. Come on, amen. I was the only one in my family that could hide behind an extension cord. Come on, amen. And that changed when I turned 40. So I'm standing over looking at some food, you know, items, and I'm waiting on God to give me some more instructions. The Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, there's supposed to be a young man come walking in, and when he does, you go to the door and wait on him. Sure enough, in Alabama, we have cowbells on the door. So he opened up the door, bling, ting, bling, 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 bling. I looked over there, and his old boots clocking the ground as he walked through the store there and went on back to the bathroom. I thought, that's him. I mean, it was like a pitch. It was all amazing how this unfolded. So I put the sausages back up. Now I'm on a mission. I walked up to the cash register, and I just stood there. I was opening the door for people coming in and going out. And, how you doing today? Thank you for being with us. Thank you for shopping. Just waiting on him to come out of the bathroom. Spirit of God spoke to him and said, get that track out of your billfold and get ready to give it to him. The track said, heaven or hell, which for you? I mean, I don't have time to dance. Let's just cut to the chase. All right, come on, amen. So I'm standing there, and he comes walking down through there. He's got on some hospital bracelets. He's probably in his early 20s. He goes to turn out the door, opened the door for me, walked out. I went right out with him. Grabbed him by the arm, and I turned around. I pulled that track out, and I said, son, I want you to look at something for a second. I laid the track down in his hand. I said, give me the answer to that, heaven or hell. He looked at it for a second, flipped it over on the back. I said, okay, you took too long. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you're lost, aren't you, son? He said, how do you know that? I said, I was sitting right there in that van waiting for my friend to quit pumping gas a while ago, and the Spirit of God told me to go in. I said, I don't mind telling you why I'm doing what I'm doing. I said, the Spirit of God told me to go in that store and wait on you, and when you would come in, you'd be ready to be witnessed to. He had the message ready for you, and you'd be ready for the message. I said, now I'll ask you again, answer the question. He said, no, I'm as backslidden as the day is long. He said, I used to be a Church of God pastor. And he said, I wind up going through a divorce. I wind up losing everything that I had. I got lied on. My reputation was shot in my community. And now I'm in a backslidden condition. He said, now I'm working three jobs to try to pay for child support. He said, I just come out of that hospital with the big hospital up on the hill. He said, I'm sick. I got something wrong with me. He said, my whole life's upside down. And he said, you know, I just told God yesterday, God, where are you at? I looked at him. I said, he's standing right in front of you. Huh? I'm not God, but you get the point. I said, you have not because you ask not. Remember that verse? He said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, but I also remember the verse, amen, that in thy presence there's fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. I said, you and I need to talk. I said, can we sit in your car for a moment? He said, sure. Walked over to his car, opened up the door. It like to fell off the side of the car. I got in there and shut the door, amen. Cigarette ashes all in the car. It looked like a pigsty in there. It stunk. We got in the car and I shut the door and I was still trying to fiddle with that door and get it back up on the hinge. And all of a sudden he just fell over the steering wheel and went to bawling like a baby. Snot pouring out his nose. Prayed one of the most beautiful prayers of intense passion I've ever heard in my life. He was desperate for God. This kid started crying out to God, quoting scriptures while he was praying, thanking God for another day, thanking God that he answered his prayer. I didn't say another word. I just sat there and watched him ball like a baby and cry out to God. All of a sudden we got done, amen. I got his name and his number. I wind up picking up the phone, called a local pastor, got this kid hooked up with that pastor for Sunday morning, amen. I got out of the car, put the door back on the hinge. I watched him as he pulled out of the driveway, and the last thing I heard, amen, was him going down the highway with his arm out the window screaming at me, I got the victory, preacher. I got the victory, preacher. I got the victory, preacher. I'm telling you right now, greater is he that lives within me than he that's within the world. Amen. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. My God's not dead. He's surely alive. Wind up, amen, getting that kid hooked up with that pastor now, amen. He's starting to work, going through some training to get back into leadership. God can put things back together. But he, listen, what if I would have missed my move? What if I would have said I'm broke and didn't go in the store? What if I'd said, well, I don't need to go into the store? What if I'd want to debate and argue and fuss and fight with God? I'm going to tell you something, amen. It's been a terrible day to get to heaven and God unfold what could have happened, amen. But because of my disobedience, he's now in hell. I'm telling you, friend, we've missed too many moves and then we lose. lose our victory, then we come to church and get locked into routine, and routine kills motivation. Then we find ourselves showing up and just going through the motions. The truth of the fact of it is, when I begin to look at this story, I begin to realize they had to watch the water. They had to stare at the water. They could not afford to lose focus of the water. In my mind, I can imagine all these people anticipating their miracle, concentrating intensely on the water. I can see them in my mind getting as close as they can to the place of blessing. I see them bumping shoulders and stepping on one another. I see them fighting selfishly for position. Why? Because they all had a need. They were there for a common purpose and a common goal and a common desire to get their need met. Selfishly fight. I can see the physical struggle just to be on the front row. I see that how over a period of time, those Brother Henry started out on the back, finally make it to the front. But I see them in my imagination becoming discouraged because it didn't happen soon enough for them. I see them begin to lose interest and lose faith, and their focus begins to shift to other things. They begin to grumble. They begin to complain, Brother Leonard. They even start talking about finding another pool. Woo! You missed that one, didn't you? Huh? But I'm just not going back to Heart Cry because you know what? I'm just not getting fed. I love it when idiots tell me that. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is my spiritual nourishment and my spiritual fulfillment. I have meat to eat that you know not of. What was Jesus' meat? To do the will of the Father and to finish His work. Jesus says, my spiritual nourishment and my spiritual fulfillment comes from the refusal to miss my move. My fulfillment, my spiritual nourishment doesn't come from a church building, a church event, a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. My faith is not hinged on whether Leonard can hit the mark Sunday morning or not. Huh? I'm not going to put my money on whether Chris sings the right song or who Brother Leonard might bring in. No, my victory, my faith. See, I had victory when I got off the plane yesterday and got to lead that man back to the Lord. 27,000 feet. I'm constantly in another world. They call me Daniel. That's what Mama named me. But I'm not who they say I am. What's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. I'm not Daniel. That's how you relate to me, and that's the title Mama gave to me. But let me tell you who I am. I'm not Daniel. I am a spirit looking after the pupils of my eyeballs, longing to go home of my builder and maker, which is God's. Amen. I am not my own, but I've been bought with a price. Amen. And I take delight in glorifying God in my body and my spirit because they are His. I haven't forgot what it's like to be lost and hopeless. All of a sudden, in the midst of frustration and impatience for the lack of warning to wait, without warning, somebody comes climbing over the top of 100 people. I see people getting angry at this person. Watch this. This person has completely forgotten his manners. This person did not say, please, thank you, or excuse me. What time is it, or isn't it nice weather we're having today in Florida? He didn't come for a social event. It is obvious, Brother Leonard, that this man was not at church to meet and greet over coffee and donuts in the foyer. He's breaking rank with routine. He's breaking rank with traditions. He's breaking rank with formalism and customs. Look at him stepping on fingers and toes and shoving his way closer and closer. You see, church, the person I'm talking about is the one that never took his eyes off the water. The person that I'm talking about, he recognized the presence of the supernatural power of God, and he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited to the right time, and then he moved and responded. This man made up his mind. I am not, I repeat, I am not going to miss my move. And if you want revival this week, see, I don't have time to dance all week. I only had 4 services, and 1.5 of them's already gone. Right? So I got to cut to the chase. I just ain't got time to play or build up to this. I don't have the luxury of preaching series. Okay? So you got to get this the first time around. If you're living in defeat in this house right now, listen to me. Defeat. Well, you better hear this. Defeat in any area of your life, any area, is a direct result of disobedience.
I don't know if I believe that.
Then take that Bible laying in your lap right now and show me one scripture where God predestined you for failure. That whole book laying beside you is a complete book of turnarounds. God turns things around. This man didn't come for the company. This man didn't come to just get out of the house. This man didn't come because the sun was shining. It was 76 degrees and a great day to take a dip. Come on. He was there for only one reason. And that was, Brother Leonard, he wanted his miracle. He was desperate for the touch of God on his life. My God, listen to me. Listen. I just believe that person is in this room tonight. I believe this person is present as I speak. Somebody is at Heartcry tonight on the third day of April 2016. Amen. At 20 minutes after 7. Because you need the supernatural power of God to touch you. This man saw the water move and he went crazy. By the way, if you haven't noticed it yet, the water's moving at Heartcry. That's what happened this morning. With that statement, I'm going to say something, Brother Leonard, with your permission. And I want you to hear this. These pastors will appreciate this comment I'm fixing to make. You may not, but it's still the truth. Many people, and even some in this room tonight, have become too familiar with the presence of God. We're living in such an entertainment age today. The music could never be greater. Some of you disagree. We need some Southern gospel. I'm not talking about musical style. By the way, I used to be a Southern gospel DJ. I still like the Florida Boys, the Hensons, Gold City Quartet, and the Cathedrals. Laugh if you want to. But I want to tell you something. There's something about the old school music. They knew what they were writing about. Today, all they're doing, most of them, is provoking a performance. There are Christian artists on Saturday and Jennifer Knapp, a lesbian, on Tuesday. And that didn't cost you no extra. Come on, Ray Bolts and the rest of them. All right? I'm just being straight up with you. A lot of this stuff today is just entertainment. It's just to stroke the flesh. They've got all the right words and they can make millions off of it because they know what people are looking for. But I'm telling you something. With all of my heart tonight, listen to me. I believe with all of my heart what we need back in the house of God is we need to go back and reach back for some of that old stuff. All of it don't need to be thrown away. Some of it does. Some of it was nothing more than tradition, ritual, and form. Right? I agree with that. But not all of it was. And some of this stuff today needs to be thrown away. Not all of it, but some of it. And we need to go back and take a blended approach to the presence of God. And realize that the only way, man, to ever be effective in your ministry, it takes more than a good song artist. It takes more than a dynamic, smart preacher. You know what else it takes? First and foremost, it takes the presence of God to bring change to anybody's life. I'm going to tell you something. A church without His presence is a lunchbox without a sandwich. You hear me? A church without His presence, amen, is a fire pit without any heat. Come on, amen. That's where we are today, friend. We're just a dead, empty, lifeless carcass without the presence of God. We need His presence back in the house of God like never before. How do you get Him here? He inhabits the praises of His people. And I can tell you something. Praise don't begin in my life when Chris picks up a guitar. Oh, you didn't get that. So let me break that down for you. It's a lifestyle. 8 weeks ago, Sister Wendy and I were at a Walmart. And great place to have church, by the way. Started going to Walmart. Sister Wendy said, hold it for a second. I said, what's up? She said, sweetheart, we need to just go home. I said, we can't go home. She said, why is that? I said, babe, we got to get groceries. She said, can't we just get them tomorrow? No, we got to get them today. She said, why are you so persistent? I said, sweetheart, all we have at home is 3 light bulbs and 1 can of Beanie Weenies. Come on, amen. We need some groceries. All right? I mean, I need this to go from here to here. Come on, amen. All right, didn't know I could do that, could you? Come on, amen. So, we need some nutrients. She said, I said, listen, you go sit in the car and let me pick up some stuff. No, because I don't cost cut. I just get what I need and check out and go home, all right? She said, I said, well, let me pray for you. She said, don't you embarrass me. Me? Embarrass you? Where'd you get that idea? She said, "Don't you embarrass me." I said, "I won't. Come here." I pulled her off the aisleway and got her over in there, and we got clothes all around us. Reached in my pocket, and I pulled that anointing oil out, took the lid off of it, put the lid back on it, stuck it in my pocket. I said, "Sweetheart, just turn your palms up." I said, "Let's just trust the Lord. He's going to meet us right here at Wally World." She said, "Well, don't get loud and don't embarrass me." You got to understand, I got a beautiful little wife. Her nickname's Cuckabird because she's stuck on me. All right? I'm telling you something, amen. She's about 5'3" of just... moving right along. Big brown eyes. Most beautiful woman in the world. It's amazing. And so I start praying for her. And you know, because I'm the bulldozer, she's the butterfly. So I have to treat her with gentle. So I'm praying for her, and I'm really soft-spoken. I'm really trying to respect, you know. And all of a sudden, man, I opened up my eyes. I saw a big old tear running down her face, and that little lip just a quiver. And I thought, "Oh, my God." Hamana, 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 hamana. Holy Ghost done showed up at Walmart. Come on, amen. That's all I need. Turn me on. I went from 0 to 1. I'm at 100. Come on. I turned the heat up, went to praying for her, prophesying, speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, it was amazing. Come on. And all of a sudden, amen, she's just crying out, amen. Now she's louder than I am. Come on. All of a sudden, amen, I opened up my eyes. She's bawling like a baby. I'm having a prayer. All of a sudden, amen, shot her little arms up in the air, amen. Amen. We got done praying. I reached down and grabbed her, picked her up off the floor. I'm slinging her around the room. Having ourselves some church. And I set her back down on the ground and realized that we were surrounded by a bunch of ladies with Walmart uniforms on. And I looked over here, and here stood one that said associate manager. Her name was Barbara. I said, "Barbara, is there a problem?" She said, "Oh, no, baby. We just heard over the intercom system there's a prayer meeting going on in menswear." Prayer meeting going on in menswear. I didn't miss my move. Therefore, I was able to come today with a story to encourage your faith. You don't have to take the back seat to nobody. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell in it. My Father owns it all. The truth of the fact of it is, amen, as I can tell you, we have lost our fear of God today. We've become too familiar with the presence of God. It is often, Brother Henry, we are too casual with His presence. Many times we miss His glory and we miss our miracle and we miss our move. All because we have forgotten how to respect and honor the presence of God. I told Chris a while ago, and you can go ask him when church is over. I said, "Brother, when you get on that guitar, get out of that form mindset you're in." Okay? I'm not Pastor Leonard, amen. I don't have 6.5 weeks to work with you, okay? You've got an anointing on your life, Chris, that I desperately need you to flow with the presence of God. I said, "This morning, I know you're on a time lock because we have another church coming in after us. And which I forgot all about and only gave them 35 minutes to get their services together. I forgot all about it." No, really, sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Okay, that's the truth right there. I'm sorry, brother. So I told him, I said, "Listen, this morning you should have flowed a little more with some of those songs you were singing. The people were responding to that." Why is that important? Because let me tell you something. Worship prepares the basket for the bread of heaven. If you don't get this right, it's hard to get this right. You hear me? They flow together. And so the truth is, sometimes we miss our miracle because we miss our move, because we fail to honor and respect the presence of God. American churches have lost their fear of God by far. I mean, most churches that I'm going to today, ladies come in the back door and you don't know if they're walking or working. Yeah, I said it and I won't apologize for it. The house of God ought not be a place where I have to come and fight lust. Yes, ladies, I did say that. And yes, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. And yes, I'm a man. But let me tell you something about that. I got in this mess by being a male. Turned on by what I see. Newsflash. But I get out of this mess by being a man. I got in it by being a male. I get out of it by being a man. And the truth of the fact of it is, amen, is people come to the house of God that they dress in to advertise. That's right. I mean, we took dress code so far off the shelf, amen, that now they're showing up looking like, amen, they're, you know, they're at a luau in Hawaii. Come on, amen. No respect, no reverence. They'll go to a wedding dressed better than that, come to the house of God and get as slouchy as they possibly can.
Let me tell you something. If you got to come to the house of God like the young lady was last week where I was at, sit down in the front row, and every time you stand, you got to do this. And then to get your left leg over your right leg, we got to have a cherry picker. Come on, amen. Come along. Won't you go home and change? You know, you call that a mini skirt, but in reality, it's nothing more than a pillowcase. What makes you go to a clothes rack and buy something like that and then call yourself a Christian? You keep missing your move. You've lost your fear of God. You don't respect the presence of God anymore. You come in here and lift up holy hands and go out there and turn up country music. That's exactly right. You come in here, amen, and talk about the Shekinah glory of God and go home, amen, and watch Kim Kardashian. I'm telling you, we're in a mess in this society today. All because the church has lost the Spirit of God. I'm not saying that as a corporate statement, meaning everybody's lost the Spirit of God. But you ought to know by now, it's taking its trend. I said it's taking its trend. The truth of the fact of it is, when what began as a ripple in the water eventually became a tidal wave of blessing for the one man that recognized the presence of Almighty God and refused to take his eyes off the water. Because this man refused to be distracted, he was able to maintain his focus on the water. Then he was able to make his move rather than all the rest who missed their move. Because he did not miss his move, this man received healing, deliverance, victory, favor, and his life was never ever the same. I am convinced, Brother Leonard, that many times we miss our miracle simply because we are insensitive to the gentle stirrings, the ripples in the water, and those subtle nudges of the Spirit of God. This is very important, heart cry. My God, is this a word? Let me tell you why this is important. Because this is what every pastor longs for a congregation, is that people will be sensitive to the stirring of the Spirit of God. Because let me tell you something, by 21 years of experience doing this, those stirrings and those ripples don't come every service. And when they do, we need to take advantage of that. What do you mean those gentle stirrings and ripples? There's times I don't need to preach. There's times God's just moving. And they don't need a book, chapter, and verse. We need to just get in the altar and lay at His feet. You need to know when to do that. There are times when God's dealing with your heart. You need to get as completely... Listen, I'm writing a book right now. I'm going to write one book before I die. I'm already into my second chapter of writing this thing. The title of this book is simply this. If God is real, why aren't His people? That's the message I want to leave behind. That's my legacy. If God is real, why aren't His people? It's time to get weird because normal isn't working. It's time to get up out of your seat and come to an altar while the preacher's preaching. I've never opened up an altar call because in 21 years, I've never closed one. Hello? And if I don't close it, I don't have to open it. We should feel freedom and liberty to get up out of our seats. Just come to the altar and sit down. When God's dealing with you and God's stirring you, if you're in this house tonight and you're lost or backslid, meaning you got just enough Jesus you can't enjoy sin, and just enough sin you can't enjoy Jesus, you're of all men most miserable. Don't you sit there another 20 minutes waiting to wonder if I'm going to get done or not. You get up out of your seat and come to Jesus right now. He will save you. He will cleanse you. He will fill you. He will use you. Right there, brother. Don't miss your move. Come on. I'm telling you, what a God. Just come and sit down in the presence of God and say, God, you don't have to scream any louder. I hear you, Lord. The truth of the fact of it is, I'm convinced many times we miss our miracle because we've lost that sensitivity to the gentle stirrings. We are always, especially in the Pentecostal church, this is my experience, we are always wanting earthquakes, wind, and fire. Right? We're always wanting earthquake, winds, and fire. But many times, Brother Leonard, God's not in the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. In my experience, most of the time, He's in the gentle ripples, those still small voice. Those seemingly unimportant nudges. You know, that tender voice that whispers at me. pay it forward. That's right. Buy that stranger's lunch today. That little voice that tells me, why don't you pick up that piece of paper on the floor that you didn't drop? Right? That little tender voice that says, why don't you put in your largest bill instead of your smallest bill? Why don't you push away that plate today, go get in your car for 30 minutes and pray for so-and-so on your lunch hour? Or why don't you get in your car and go apologize to so-and-so when you know it wasn't your fault? Oh, I'm preaching really good right now. This is called character. This is called, see, listen, let me tell you something. We often pray for change in circumstance, but we never pray for change in character. Right. Oh, God, heal this nation. But then we vote in another jerk, so blooming crooked he screws his socks on. Huh? Just where it is, folks. Why don't you go pray for so-and-so? You know what else? I realize it's 3 a.m. in the morning and you need some physical rest, but I sure miss my time with you. Can you get out of that bed for a few minutes? How about this one? Why don't you worship me past noon this coming Sunday? Don't be in such a hurry to leave my presence. Let me tell you something, church. I already sense some of you in this room ready to go. Because tonight is not as adrenaline and as aggressive, as exciting as it was this morning. But there's a reason for that. Number one, it's the end of the day and your bodies are tired. Number two, your bellies are full. That alone, amen, is a recipe for a coma. Come on, amen. Especially when you're past 35, all right? Amen. But listen to me. I am sick and tired of the world getting excited about overtime. They go to a ball game, come on, and scream their blooming heads off, slosh beer on one another, paint their bellies green and yellow for the Green Bay Packers, 35 degrees outside. Woo! Bet their last dime because we're going into overtime. Watch this. Yet we come to the house of God and people get turned off if the church service goes into overtime. Huh? Why is it that the world can get excited about overtime, but the church loses its ability to get excited about overtime? I tell you with all of my heart, amen, I'm tired of coming to church with a dinner fork in one hand, a Bible in the other, expecting fire to fall on empty altars. Anything worth having is worth waiting for. That means that best things require time and patience. Good things do come to those that wait. But allow me to add, amen, not to those who wait too late. As a matter of fact, listen to me. The bottom line is, we are in a war right now across seas, all because of one reason. Abraham could not wait on God. Much as I'd like to, you can't blame Obama for that one. And nor can you blame President Bush. Because this has been going on for many, 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 many years. Yes, they have contributed certain factors to keeping us in it. But bringing them all home is not going to stop what's going on. Because the truth of the fact of it is, Abraham couldn't wait on God, so he went into a tent to help God out with Hagar, wind up birthing a baby called Ishmael, and that whole bunch over there is the descendants of Ishmaelites, and you ain't never going to stop the chaos. The truth of the fact of it is, Jesus will, when he comes back riding a white horse and a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, one day there'll be an end put to it. But we're in a war because we can't wait on God. The Bible says, whosoever first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. When the water moved, the miracle power of God was present. The healing, the deliverance, and the breakthrough was present in everybody's midst. I'm closing. Everybody had equal rights to the favor of God. But the only one who got their miracle was the one that stayed focused on the water and refused to miss their move. I'm just going to warn you something, heart cry. If you ain't figured it out by now, amen, this old white boy, amen, flat refuses to miss his move this week. Amen, let me tell you something. Your attitude needs to be like this. Amen, just want to give everybody a heads up before I offend you. When the water starts moving, I'm going to be stepping and maneuvering my way right into my miracle. For those of you that don't plan on going anywhere, amen, for those of you that might get in my way, for anybody with second thoughts, amen, about what others might say or think, just know beforehand, might be wise if you pull your feet in a little bit. Because the truth is, amen, it's time for me to make my move. And it's time for you to make your move. I don't mean to be pushy and rude, but Daniel Couch needs a miracle. I need a breakthrough. I ain't got time to be worried about being cute and comfortable. This is my move. I don't know when or if the water will ever move again. I've been praying for it. I've been believing for it. I've been preparing for it. Let me tell you what happened recently. And I'll close with this tonight. Listen carefully. I was in Florida here last year. I had 250,000 miles on my F-150 Ford truck. We pulled that travel trailer all over the country. Why? So that I can hold revivals for little bitty churches that cannot afford hotels. I've always had a heart for ministries struggling financially. Most evangelists will avoid them. But I find that's where the favor of God's at. That's right. I'm always looking for the little widow with two mites. It's always been my heart. Because I think it intensifies my testimony. Right? It intensifies my testimony that I've got a heart for these little bitty churches, and yet in 21 years, Wendy and I have never had the first check bounce. My bills have always been paid. I've always said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. He'll take care of me. And He has for 21 years. Sped my kids. We get sick, we go to the doctor. We don't have insurance, but I've got insurance. All right? He takes care of me. So we were down here in Florida, and I think Leonard knew about this. We wind up, my truck broke down when I was down here. I wind up putting three rear ends in that truck. And it wouldn't pull the trailer anymore. So I had to unhook from the trailer, leave it here in Orlando, and deadhead 11 and a half hours back to Alabama. I had 8 days to get to Alabama, get back to Orlando, pick up my trailer, and get to South Carolina for my next revival. So riding back home, and I'll close with this story tonight. Riding back home, really quiet. I'm stressed. I'm nervous. Before that, I wind up going over to the Faith Harvest Worship Center, holding a meeting over here, right over on Mill Slough Road. And a lady walked up to me, knowing I was having truck trouble, and handed me a phone number. Now watch this. The phone number she handed me was to her son-in-law, who lives in Louisiana. Okay? He is a multi-millionaire. This guy is a Christian guy, has car lots all over the United States of America, and he loves write-offs, just blessing ministries that are struggling with new vehicles. Gives me a phone number, says, I just got off the phone with Troy. Troy is expecting a call from you. He wants to be a blessing to you. So she hands me the number. I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. God says, flush it down the toilet. What? Flush it down the toilet. God, I am not, this is the number of all numbers. I'm not flushing this down the toilet. And I heard God say, I've got a number too. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Which number are you going to keep? The easy way or the path of faith? But I'm going to tell you something. I went to the bathroom. And it's been, listen, that's the hardest thing I've ever flushed. I'm telling you right now, it was difficult. I couldn't get it to go down. Come on, amen. Quit looking at me like that, Leonard. You too? Well, huh? I tried to flush that thing and come back to the top. I thought, my God, where's the plunger? Finally, I got it to go down, and man, I thought, my God, I just flushed that dude's number, a millionaire's number down the toilet. Oh, my God, I want to puke. Devil hit me, wore me out with it. 11 and a half hours going home, thinking about that number I flushed down the toilet. Was it really God? Then I remember that story, sitting on a rooftop. God sends a boat. And God sends a helicopter. What have I done? This is terrible. Caleb, of all things, my little boy leans up and says, Daddy, you're not talking. I said, Daddy's stressed, baby. He said, well, what are we going to do when we get home by the truck? I said, son, we're just going to trust the Lord. He said, we got any savings? I said, Caleb, Daddy's never known what a savings account is. I don't have any money in the bank. We live from week to week. Matter of fact, when I left to come down here to hold revival, Wendy told me she got $270 left in the ministry account. And the first thing the devil told me, yeah, go down there for no money. I said, you a liar, devil. You shut your stinking mouth. And there's no financial burden on this church. Because my primary purpose for being down here is I'm holding a revival over Southland Christian School. And let me tell you what most evangelists want. Rob will take care of me this week. He'll take care of everything. So I'm down here because I got free time and I want to help my friend whom I love dearly. Okay? Listen to him. My heart's in this. So I said, son, I said, let me tell you something. God will provide himself a lamb. God will take you. And this year, if it's an experience, a life lesson, Caleb, you'll never forget. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, I hope God backs this up. Caleb leaned back, leaned over and told my daughter, Abby, said, Daddy says God's coming through for us this time. Put his hat back on. Put his headphones back on, went to watching hunting again. Big smile on his face, and I'm still up there, man, with diarrhea. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So we get to the house. I pull the truck up in the yard. I let the kids out, and I went to Hartzell, to the Ford place. I pulled up in the Ford place. This is what I asked. I said, Eddie, which is the owner, this is my situation. Do you have a vehicle that I can buy or purchase? He said, Daniel, for what you're doing, I don't have anything used. All I've got is a 2015 F-150 4x4, $47,000 truck sitting out there, brand new. I said, Eddie, I can't afford something like that. I just don't have any monthly support coming in. I can't do something like that. He says, well, listen, let me fill it up with gas, and you just drive it home. And I said, and then what? He said, let's just wait 2 or 3 days and see what God does. He's a great man of God as well. He said, let's just see what God does. Nothing else, just burn up a gas tank. It's on me. Have a great day. So, that's cool. What I forgot about was I got to go home with a new truck and face Wendy. Never crossed my mind. Huh? I'm styling and profiling down Main Street, Hartzell. I'm so stupid, I've got clear window glass rolled down halfway. You only do that with tinted glass. Got clear glass rolled down eye level. Systems cranked up. Got Toby Mac. Okay, you don't know who he is. Moving on. Get to the house, pull up in the driveway. Here comes Wendy. What is this? I said, it's a full tank of gas is what it is. She said, why did you bring that home? We can't do anything with that. I said, I tried to tell Eddie, take that back to him and get the other truck, and we can't do this. I said, tell you what, Eddie said burn the tank of gas out. And then if we got an answer, we'll take it back to him then. She said, oh, you just never learn, do you? Went in the house. She said, you just need to grow up. I said, let me tell you something. Growing old is mandatory. Growing up is optional. Come on, amen. I got a cool-looking truck sitting in the driveway with a half a tank of gas now. Come on, amen. Watch this. I'm going to end this message with a bang. So I go to bed that night. $47,000 truck sitting in the driveway. I ain't called nobody. My dad don't even know I got this thing at home. Went to bed. 3:00 in the morning. This would be 9 hours after I brought the truck home. My phone rang 3:00 in the morning. Woke me up, picked up my cell phone. And it was a lady from North Carolina that I don't even really even know. She goes to a church I preach at up there, but I really don't even know her. Her and her husband owns a little heat and cooling business, a little residence. Imogene Hall, what are you doing calling me 3:00? No, call your pastor. Huh? Come, I mean, give me a break, guys. I mean, it's 3:00 in the morning. All right. You've done the same thing. Quit looking at me like that. So I put the phone down. 3 minutes later, one of them old-fashioned telephone rings, wakes everybody in the house up. Picked it up, it's Imogene again. I said, my God, why are you calling me? Leave me alone. 10 minutes later, ring. Wendy raises up. Who is that? I said, it's some woman. You might want to answer that. Oh, wait a minute. It's Imogene Hall, North Carolina. What does she want? I don't know, babe. Well, answer it so she'll leave us alone. I said, okay. So I picked the phone up. I said, hello. That's how I said it. Hello. Brother Couch? Yes, Imogene. How's things going? Oh, just fantastic, Imogene. Just sitting around waiting for you to call, I reckon. So delightful to hear from you at 3:00 in the morning, okay? Right. I mean, this is awesome. Couldn't have been better timing. Everything's going okay, Imogene. What do you need? She said, well, I was going to ask you the same question. What do you need? And I'm thinking, how about a call after 10? That'd be a great place to start. I said, I don't need anything, Sister Imogene. Now, I got a little edge on me. She says, well, that's not what God said. I've been up praying for you all night, Brother Couch. And the Spirit of God told me that when I called, you'd kick me in the voicemail. But call is no minimum of 5 times back to back. You would eventually answer the phone. I said, this needs to be important, Imogene, now that you've brought God into it. She said, then tell me what's the problem. I said, I have no problem. She said, let me say one more time, what's the problem? Yeah. Talk to me that way? Really? She said, your finances, what's wrong with the money? And it hit me. I said, Imogene, the only thing that I can think of is that we have a breakdown right now in the ministry. And I began to explain to her that the truck costs $47,000. It's sitting out in the driveway. We don't have any monthly support. We just need to find somebody that'll help us pick us up $400 a month. Maybe $100 from this one and $100 from that one, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry, we're not passing the plate. All right, come on, amen. So I wind up. Started to hang the phone up. She said, well, let me call you right back in a second. Talk to my husband. We want to help you with that expense. I'm thinking, Imogene, I hadn't even signed the papers on it. Click. Wendy said, now, turn your phone off. I said, I can't. Why? She's calling back in 10 minutes. What? 10 minutes later, the phone rings. She said, Brother Couch, I want you to go to bed and relax tonight. All is well. She said, I talked to my husband. She said, we'll be putting the check in the mailbox tomorrow. It will arrive via FedEx, overnighted to you. I have to sign for the check. Please notify me when the check arrives. And be blessed, brother. Have a great night. Hung the phone up. I thought, all right, she's probably going to send $1,000, $2,000 in the mail. I mean, a call like that. This is going to be more than just a few $100. Next day, FedEx pulls up my driveway. I signed for the letter, opened it up, and it was a check for $47,000. God's not dead. Let's go back to the dumpster. Let's go back to a drug-addicted, alcohol, pill-popping pervert throwing cats and coons out of a dumpster years ago with no hope, no joy, no life, and no future. Ready to blow my brains out and end it all. But I refused to miss my move October the 16th, 1994. When God sent the precious Holy Spirit to my address and rung the bell on my door. That has been the greatest decision of my entire life in ministry. And another good decision was flushing a millionaire's phone number. Trying to find a quick fix and an easy route to a blessing. Calling that millionaire and getting a truck is not near the story. It's what I just told you. My son had a life lesson. My daughter got a life lesson. My family got a life lesson. Now, I know that ain't blessing some of you, but you ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. Because the truth of the fact of it is, you reap what you sow. And because of my faithfulness to refuse to miss my move and do something very difficult, and that is cooperate with the Spirit of God and flush $1 million, as far as I'm concerned, down a toilet. I obeyed God, and look what He did. I love you, church. And I'm in town for one reason. I may not be the greatest preacher you've ever heard. No, I'm not. I may not rub you right in all the right places. I may leave you tonight questioning some things, scratching your head about my delivery, my demeanor, my ways. But you'll never find somebody that's more transparent with their heart more into what God's called them to do than me. I'm not educated. I'm not for every church. I'm not. I go to some churches, it just doesn't work out. But you know what? I'm worth a try. I'm just worth a try. Just give me a shot. Just give me an opportunity. Because you know what? I believe with all of my heart, I could not stay successful 21 years in full-time evangelism running around causing pastors a bunch of trouble and problems. I am an evangelist. But my heart is that we become more like Christ. And we can't do that unless we keep our eyes on the pool. Don't miss your move. Tomorrow night, tomorrow, the hardest decision you'll make tomorrow will be from the point of time you get off work until 6:30 p.m. And you're going to make a decision tomorrow. Am I going to the house of God, or am I just going to stay at home, relax tonight, and watch Duck Dynasty? Come on. Or sit around and wait for more of Trump's substance, which isn't coming. That's where we are, guys. We can sit around and keep playing these games, or we can show up tomorrow night and show up Tuesday night. Chris won't be doing music tomorrow night. I'll be doing the music tomorrow night. I'm not as near as dynamic as this brother, but you know what? I'm not intimidated. I am who I am, and I will give you what God's given me. You can always find a better singer. You can always find a better preacher. But I promise you at 6:30 tomorrow night, this boy's eyes are going to be on the pool. And I'm going to be focused on one thing. What do you want to do tonight, God? You want a singer? I'll sing. You want a preacher? I'll preach. You want me to shut up and sit down and let somebody else deal with it? I'll do that too. Why? Because I'm not in this for the money. I didn't come for a paycheck. I didn't come for an approval rating. I came because God sent me. And when God's through with me, then I'll get on a plane and go home. But until then, somebody in this room has not had their eyes on the pool. You've had your eyes on bills. You've had your eyes on offenses. You've had your eyes on relationships. Some of you are still looking at everybody that left. It's over. It's behind you. If people can walk away from you, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all wrong. What it does mean is that their part in your story is over. What you need to do is come to an altar tonight and pray for the 10th spiritual gift. What's the 10th spiritual gift? It's the gift of goodbye. Bye-bye. Not everybody has that gift. Huh? Hold your chin up. Play the hand dealt to you. And say that Harvest Heart Cry is going to be the greatest preaching in Kissimmee. We're going to have the greatest singing in Kissimmee. We're going to have the greatest youth group in Kissimmee. We're going to have the greatest ministry in Kissimmee. Set your goals high. Shoot for the stars. Hey, I would rather believe for something great and only get half of it than to sit on a church pew, believe for nothing and get all of it. Huh? I'm driving a new truck. Right? And it all started, amen, with just getting out of my comfort zone, trusting God He'll meet my need. What He done for me, God's going to do for you. I love you, Heart Cry. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for tolerating me. Thank you for agreeing to disagree with me. Thank you for feeding me. Love you guys so much. And my heart is in this. And I hope I've said something tonight to stir the pot a little. I hope I've said something tonight to cause you to go home tonight. And when you cut the lights out and you pull them sheets up to your chin, you'll lay there, amen, staring into the darkness thinking, God, you're up to something. Lord, you have a perfect plan and I'm part of it. Determine right now that tomorrow is going to be the greatest Monday of your life. Get up in the morning. Take you a shower, a nice hot one. Fix your hair, put your clothes on, and say, I'm fixing to walk into the world's largest mission field. And today, God's going to put somebody in my path, and I'm not going to miss my move. And come in here tomorrow night and see what kind of atmosphere we have at Heart Cry. Brother, if you'll turn on that CD tonight, I want to give somebody an opportunity right now in this room to get up out of their seat and say, you know what? I'm going to maneuver and make my way down to the pool. I'm not going to sit on the banks of frustration and disappointment and discouragement my whole entire life. Waiting on the water to move again. It may not move again, church. Some of your marriages in this house is on the brink of bankruptcy. Don't miss your move. Go home and look that wife in the eyes and say, you know what? I want to apologize to you for just being stubborn. Maybe you as a wife need to go home and apologize to your husband for complaining so much, but yet you never affirm him. He never does anything right in your eyes. Everything he does is wrong to you. Men can only take so much of that, ladies. What we don't need from you the most is your sex. What I need from my wife more than anything is not what I find in a bed. I need my wife to get in the car and look at me and say, you the man. You the man. That's what you are. That's what I need. I need affirmation. I need my wife to know you're not perfect. You are incomplete. But I love you more than life itself and I believe in you, Daniel. When's the last time you gave that sort of affirmation to your husband? In the midst of all of his mistakes, his failures, and his shortcomings. Looked him dead in the eyes with tears running down your face and say, there's hope for me in you. And we're going to make it. Because you want to know what? Despite everything that's happened, I would die for you. I love you with all of my life. Where's that kind of spark anymore? I always thought when I got married, the most common phrase in my home would be, I love you. It's not. It's, I forgive you. 20 years this year. July the 6th, 2:30 p.m. My wife and I have been married for 20 years. It's been an amazing journey. Matter of fact, I told her today, honey, if you leave or leave me, I'm going with you. You ever leave me, I'm going with you. I'm addicted to her. Hasn't always been that way. 60 seconds and I'm through. 12 years ago, I'd wrote a suicide letter, loaded a gun, wait for her to get home, and I was going to shoot my wife in the back of the head. and kill myself in the process. I done wrote the letter waiting on her to get home. She pulled up. I cocked the pistol, stood behind the door, done wrote the letter and everything. I'd been sitting around for the last 2 hours sticking a cold 40 caliber gun in my mouth so I could get accustomed to the feel of that gun in my mouth so I wouldn't panic. That's where I was at. I was a preacher 12 years ago. I was a preacher 12 years ago ready to commit suicide. Ready to blow her brains out and blow my brains out as well. Life meant nothing to me anymore. I was sick of church. I was sick of people. I was sick of being lied about, spit on, ridiculed. I'm done with it. And she pulled up in the yard. And my neighbor walked over and got her and said, "Can you come in the house real quick? I need to show you some stuff, some crafty stuff I just made." And got her by the hand and led her away. Had it not been for God sending that angel called a neighbor. And we went from that mess to a complete and total addiction and obsession for one another. I'm going to tell you something that you're going to laugh about, but it's not funny, it's the truth. She's the only person in my life that if I go to another room in the house, I start missing her. 3 days ago, we was at my house. She was in the kitchen cooking something. I went into the bedroom to sit down to study. I was in the bedroom for 35 seconds, went right back in the kitchen. I said, "I can't even stand to be away from you. I love you so much." It's where God can bring a relationship. But it's going to take cooperation, the refusal to miss your move to get there. I know I've been long tonight, but you know what? Some of you don't realize the problems that are in this room right now that didn't get here in 20 minutes, but the devil's been working on them for a long, long time. And what they need tonight is some true ministry. So you know what? If you get finished before I do, you can go ahead and leave. I'm not on a time limit. Only in America can you preach too long. Only in America. Let's bring it to God tonight. Let's lay at the foot of this cross. Say, "Lord, make me clean. Change me. Mold me. Shape me. Fashion me. Stir me out of my comfort zone." She's not going to miss her move. You know what? I don't think she'll be the only one. There's others of you in this house right now that are saying, "You know what? It's time for me to get focused on the pool. It's time for me to start staring at the water. It's time for me to go to the cross and repent and ask God's forgiveness for being focused on everything and anything but the right thing. God, help me. God, strengthen me. God, stabilize me. God, bring balance back to my marriage. God, bring balance back to my life. God, give me a heart tomorrow morning to wake up and go looking for a lost soul. Help me to be sensitive to your gentle stirrings and those little ripples in the water that I often have got used to just ignoring. They don't mean anything to me anymore. God can scream at me and I don't hear it anymore. God, forgive me. Let me get back to the place where when you whisper, I come running." That's what revival is. Can we turn that up, brother? Please. If you need to leave tonight, thank you for being here. But some of us have been too far for too long. Change me, God. Change me, God. Do it, God. Do it, Jesus. I've been preaching to you all night, sweetheart. You don't have to leave like you came. Doesn't matter what everybody else on this pew does. It's what you choose to do. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Don't miss your move. Don't miss your calling. Don't miss your opportunity. There's somebody sick on their way to the Texaco. There's somebody sleeping in a cardboard box. There's somebody whose marriage is on the brink of bankruptcy. Somebody's marriage was headed for the rocks, but now it's headed to the rock. Somebody needs a U-turn in their life. Somebody just simply needs to know they're important. Let them matter. Let God use you. Let God send you. Anybody can write out a check and send me to Africa, but when are you going to pack your bags and go with me? When are you going to get out of your comfort zone and let God use you? Love you. Unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could think or ask, according to the power that works in you.
Wash me in mercy.
Change.
I am changed.
This is going to be a night. Fourth day of April, 2016. 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. is when my life did a U-turn.
Your blood flowed red.
Do it, God. Deliver him, Jesus. Deliver him of this disease, God. Set him free, God.
I am clean.
This thing, God, that's destroyed his life, God, caused him, God, to always walk with a limp spiritually. Save him tonight, God. Deliver him tonight, God. You spirit of alcoholism, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, God, to bring deliverance to his life. Let his last days be his greatest days. Let his worst day be behind him. His greatest day still ahead of him. Do it, Jesus. Take the shackles off his feet, off his hands, off his mind, his heart, soul, body, and spirit. Let this be a life-changing event for him this week. Something that he just can't get enough of. Thank you, Jesus. Do it, God. He's here tonight, God, because what he's looking for, he can't find in a bottle. What he's looking for, he can't find in a bag of tobacco, pills. What he's looking for, he can only find at the pool. In the presence of Almighty God. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Jesus, take your time tonight. This is your revival. This is your opportunity. This is what you have prayed for. This is what you have fasted for. This is what you have sought God for. This is your moment. Do it, Jesus. Touch him, God. Do it, Jesus. Give him the breakthrough God he's craved for years. Set his feet to dancing, Jesus. Strip us of the spirit of heaviness and put upon us, God, the garment of praise. Give us beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning.
You see beautiful.
Do it, God. Do it, Jesus.
And you're helping me.
Church, listen to me. This restlessness, this frustration you've been feeling for months. Let me tell you what that is. The reason for all the frustration and the restlessness in our lives is because we were created for more. That's why we got so much road rage in society. That's why there's so many murders and killings and stabbings and division. Is God created us for more than what we're experiencing. It's a holy frustration. It's a restlessness sent from heaven to disturb you and I out of our comfort zones. God, change us. Convict us. Jesus.
You can't make worthy.
Jesus. Father, I ask you tonight. Wait a minute.
I am clean.
It's not your heart or your leg that needs healing, my friend. It's your heart. You're not right with God to begin with. Am I right or wrong? You were created to struggle. You were created to snuggle.
My heart's beating.
Your mama knew if I could just get him here.
Beating inside.
You just gotta get him here. Those tears in your eyes right now, that brokenness.
Oh, I'm coming alive.
Is the same look I had on my face climbing out of a dumpster.
Oh,
what God's done in my life, son, he wants to do with you.
You're
I've never laid eyes on you, but you've got a call on your life and you've been throwing it away for years. You've got a heart of gold. You're a good man. Game playing is over. It's time to clock in and go to work. It's time to stop living your life for yourself. You're wasting too many years, son. People out there needing Jesus and you're the only one God created to reach them. You've got to believe that word. If not, you'll say, well, heck with it. God will send somebody else. I don't think like that. When I sit down on an airplane, I believe the person sitting beside me was orchestrated to God and ordained to be the minister to that person. I may be the only time that ever reaches out to him, the only one.
I am clean.
You're down here tonight because you don't need a healing with a leg. You need a heart heal. Is that your girlfriend back there?
Washed in the blood of your sacrifice.
Sweetheart, it ain't never going to work with
your
him at an altar. He's just sitting seat.
Me white.
Let me just tell you that right
my
off the bat. I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Are purified.
But I'm going to fight for you.
I am clean.
Him moving forward, you lagging behind, it ain't ever going to work. The only way it's ever going to work is moving in unison together, closer and closer to who He is and what He is. But thank you for being the leader to set the pace. Let's pray. Let's pray. You're the reason I bought a plane ticket. You're the reason I left my wife and kids behind. My God, friend, you're the reason I travel the world. You're the reason I've dedicated my life to this. It ain't for a paycheck. It's not what they're going to tell me at the back door, how awesome I am, what a good job I did. You're the reason I didn't blow my brains out. You're the reason God sent somebody to take my wife to a house next door so I didn't kill her and myself too. You're the reason God made me whole. You are. Father, I thank you for this moment, God. I thank you for this moment in time, God. You had this orchestrated before he or I, either one, was born, conceived, or even a thought. While his mama was just a little girl still sucking a pacifier, you had already ordained this moment. And I thank you, God. Your plan is perfect, and it needs no adjustments. Son, this ain't hard. Preachers try to make it hard to find God, and I hate it when they do that. Because it's not hard to find God. It's hard to leave God. It's easy to find Him. Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. That's all you got to do. It's simply saying with all of your heart, God, save my lost soul. God, heal me and deliver me. You have to say that, sons. With your mouth you confess and with your heart you believe in the salvation. I'm not trying to introduce you to religion. This is about a relationship. You can have a ton of religion, not one ounce of salvation. Let me tell you something, church, while he's thinking about that. The worst decision Judas ever made, and you'll hear it in that message, the Gospel of Judas. Judas repented. Yeah, he did. You're reading the Bible. He repented. But he repented of the wrong ones. He ran to the church, and the church didn't want him. When he should have ran to Jesus, the face he just kissed. Because Jesus said, friend, deceivest thou me? So I'm not trying to get people to come to church. My objection is to get them to come to Christ. You get them to Christ, they'll come to church. Amen. Say this with me, son. Lord Jesus, cleanse my heart. Set me free. Deliver me of my past. Break the chains that have bound me. Today, with your help, your presence, your spirit, your word, and your guidance, I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better son. I'll be the man you created me to be. My past is behind me. My future is ahead of me. My past will not rule my tomorrow. I've been delivered. I've been healed. I've been made whole. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to come find me where I am and bring me home. In Jesus' name, happy birthday, my friend. That you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. You know what Mama did? Mama ran to the table a while ago and said, you know how I got him here tonight? I said, how? I told him I'd buy him supper if he'd come. Hey! Table's already spread. Let's give the Lord praise tonight. Put your hands together. Let me say this and I'm done. When you go get in that vehicle in a moment, this is for everybody else that can use this. Before you crank it up, I want you to look at the windshield. In the middle of that windshield is a little bitty device called a rear view mirror. Right? The reason why the rear view mirror is so small and that windshield is so large is because what's behind you is not near as important as what's ahead of you. Let's go forward, my friend. Tomorrow night at 6:30, I'm going to see you. If you got to work, I pray they fire you today. You need a revival. You need a job? Another job. Well, you've got one now. Be here tomorrow night at 6:30. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. God bless you, church.
I'm not as loud as he is. But I can get there. I can get there. Everybody be wearing hearing aids, or Pastor Bill said we'll give you earplugs when you come in, if I did that every Sunday. Is that about right? Gary, that's just his volume. Daniel will be at the back. If you haven't been by his table, if you want to go by his table on the way back, on the way out, and if you want to give a love offering to him, there's envelopes on the desk, the usher's desk back there. You can just make a check to Heart Cry if it's a check, or if you want credit for it, put an envelope and fill out the front. We'll give you credit for that, and just drop it in the boxes if you want to give a love offering to his ministry. God bless you. 6:30 tomorrow night. 6:30 tomorrow night, not 6, 6:30, okay? Bring someone with you. God bless you. Sleep well.